Coaching as Benevolence, a podcast for people who are curious about using coaching for self-development. I'm Erin with Roots and Wings Grief and Loss Coaching.
And I'm LaShawn with Michelle Sage Place Positive Intelligence Coaching.
Today, we are going to talk about celebrating and how important that is to celebrate your small and big wins. Erin and I recently celebrated our 1 year anniversary for the podcast. It was online and it was so fun. So we were thinking, why not talk about celebrating? One thing that comes to mind when I think about celebrating, especially since we started this podcast, Erin does such a great job of bringing in celebration. I didn't even think about doing a launch for our podcast. And she's like, let's do a launch for our podcast. I'm like, okay, cool. Let's launch our podcast. We'll have a whole party and everything. And then we continued that tradition, I guess, and had a celebration for our 1 year anniversary. And for me, it was just a great exercise to see how far we've come, what we've accomplished. I edit the podcast episode, so I was going over our coaching nuggets of wisdom, and I was also going over some recordings of guests that have come on to our podcast. And while I was going through that process, it allowed me to take time to reflect and also to appreciate what we've done. So, Erin, what comes to mind when you think about one, our 1 year anniversary celebration, and two, celebrations in general? You can take whichever one you want.
Yeah. I think I'll start with your first question, in that when we accomplish something or we get to a point of transition, when we celebrate, it can often be hard to look back and recognize all the work and time, all the feelings, everything that went into something. I know I do that all the time. I'm like, okay, what's the next thing? You know, how do I just move from here onto the next step? And don't take that time to really understand what happened over the course of a year, for example. And so for me, when I think of celebrating the year of our podcast being released, we didn't know last year what our year would look like. We didn't know what we were getting ourselves into as being very new in the podcasting world and having to learn a lot regarding everything from our equipment to what we talk about, to even learning how we converse with each other in a space that's recorded in, on a podcast. So all of that learning that happened right now feels like, oh, I just know what to do. But if I take a moment and pause and look back and appreciate all that I learned, all that we did to grow together and grow individually, I can sit in that space with more appreciation and more gratitude. And the celebration is just the way to then formalize celebrating what was, what is, and even what is to come. So I think that's what really shows up for me in the space of celebrating. And it can be anything. You can celebrate a really small win to something that took you many, many, many years to develop. But I will say, if you haven't celebrated a project that took you many years, take that time to stop and pause and kind of reflect back on those transitional points. Maybe those points when you wanted to give up, or those points when you felt that you just were going to make it. And hold that with care, hold that space with acknowledgement, and hold that space with gratitude as the turning points that got you to where you are as well. Hold yourself with care, hold your achievements and what is and what is becoming with care, by using celebration as a tool, as a strategy to reflect on all that led you to where you are, and to maybe gain new insights and new understandings about how you want to move forward. So celebration in itself can be a tool, right? It can be a personal growth tool in itself. LaShawn, what do you think of when you hear the word celebration?
I really resonated with some of the things that you said about how when you celebrate, it's a great way to gain clarity on what you have achieved, especially like you said at the beginning, just moving on to the next thing without really acknowledging or taking the time to appreciate what you have accomplished. And as you were talking about specifically our journey in the year that we started the podcast. We started out with little to no knowledge about podcasting. And through the years, we learned different skills that we may now take for granted, but it's great to be able to celebrate and appreciate. So I think what comes to mind is with celebration is appreciation. And it's that practice that we as humans have that gives us a chance to really look at everything that we have to be grateful for, our blessings. When I think about celebration, I think of community. I think about people coming together for the sole purpose of enjoying ourselves through like entertainment, good food, great music, great conversation. And it's a time where we set aside all of those things like the to-do lists and the busyness of our lives. We set aside time and it's a special time. So celebration, I think of invitations. You send out invitations to different people. I think about bold colors. I think about, all kinds of wonderful things that we associate with celebration. And the word itself is so robust. I love the word celebrate and celebration. It feels good. When I say it, it feels like a dance. When I say it, it's got its own rhythm. It's a really effervescent and buoyant word. And that's what I think of when I think of celebration. I think of joy and appreciation, love, togetherness, connection. Anything else coming to mind for you, Erin?
I like what you said about community at the beginning of what you said, and then brought it back at the end to that togetherness and that community aspect. And I think that's so important, as we've talked about in previous podcasts, of our interdependence. And, especially during this time of the year after the election, it's very challenging to be in community sometimes, with all that is kind of swimming in the background, and then to show up to the table metaphorically and physically, and be amongst people that you may or may not align with politically or spiritually, and still hold space for one another in a way that is kind, in a way that draws community in, going back to your point, LaShawn, about community, while maintaining that feel of celebration, maintaining that feel of inspired belonging, that feel of the music that you talked about and the food and all of that that goes into that, knowing that we are all, I think I go back to that brokenness piece. We are all broken in various ways. And when we can show up together in community at that table from very different walks of life and backgrounds, I think that just makes for a richer celebration, actually. So I think that celebration can be a helpful tool for creating a more peaceful world, for helping people shine in their strengths, those sorts of things. So it has so many different layers to it. And the more I talk about it, the more feeling and thinking I get around the word celebration, and how that is this tool that can be used in so many effective ways for humanity, for us coming together and sharing our shared humanness. So I think that really comes up and for me resonates based off of what you said, LaShawn. I'm trying to think of celebrate. So celebration, the one thing I guess I want to share too is like sometimes there are things that go on at celebrations that are quite humorous. Other times there are things where they just go just fine. And other celebrations may be more serious, and conversations may not naturally flow as well because of the depth of what the community is holding as they are celebrating something. So I just want to open up that space to say that celebration isn't always happy, and it doesn't have to be, and it can be neutral, and that's okay, right? Like celebration doesn't have to look a specific way. But I think the key factor in it goes back to what LaShawn said about bringing community together, and I think to increase one's understanding of each other, and I think that's a big part of it. I love gift giving as well. So celebration for me often does include gift giving. I just love shopping And then I like shopping for gifts. So I can't uncouple the two because when we celebrate birthdays or anniversaries or holidays, those types of things, gifts are such a part of it for me. And I think it's fun for me to just find things that I think that make me think of the other person and celebrate them, right? And it's a way of me showing that. So I know we have love languages, right? And I'm sure our listeners are familiar with love languages. It's like maybe we need celebration languages. What's your celebration language? Mine, I think, is gift giving. LaShawn, what do you want to add?
I agree with you, Erin. I love giving gifts. I think my celebration language is absolutely giving gifts. I enjoy finding things that reflect the person who is receiving the gift. I love going and looking at different things, and what I do is I just kind of bring that person to mind and I find something that will bring them joy. Or something that reflects their personality or their character in some way. So I love giving gifts. Another thing that is a celebration language for me is definitely movement. When I celebrate, I gotta move my body, I gotta do a little dance. You know, that because one thing that I try to do is uncouple reward and celebration from food because I have issues with food. And so, one of the things that I did as an alternative, instead of getting like a sweet thing to eat or something to reward myself for a job well done, I do a little dance. And I find that that is much more nourishing because I do tend to go towards, sugary and high calorie foods for reward. Having that alternative, dancing, is definitely a celebration language for me. Any other celebration languages for you, Erin?
I love that you bring up movement. I like that as well. And then food, I also struggle with in terms of, especially around the holidays. So, going into the holidays, as you celebrate, maybe just be mindful about where you're at with your food and drinking. And I just want to be vulnerable here. I have not had any alcohol for over 30 days now, which is the longest I think I've gone without alcohol since, having kids and being pregnant and all of that. And I've noticed some challenges with that and some things to celebrate with that for sure. And so I'm just going to put that out there as that's where I'm at today. I don't know what the holidays will look like for me when it comes to my alcohol consumption, but I do know having this route now of being sober and not drinking for 30 plus days, I have a little bit more strength, I think, going into the holidays to be mindful about my consumption of alcohol. I love a good glass of wine. Like wine is my go-to, but the sugar and the calories, right? And the health effects. I'm still in that place of trying to just be a lot more cognizant and mindful about what the relationship is that I have with alcohol and what does it do for me. And can I do something a little bit different? And just to share, I know I'm going a little bit off topic here, but it's relationship for me just to continue the story, I guess, is that it has always been a way for me to suppress what I'm feeling so that I don't have to feel too much in the moment. Or it's a celebration tool for me as well. I love being social, and it's a lot easier for me to be social when I have a glass of wine, those sorts of things. So, still part of a long process for me that I'm continuing to try on and see how it goes. And so, I going into the holidays and thinking about celebrations, Thanksgiving meal, Christmas meal, all of those things. I now realize I need to have maybe a little bit more of a robust plan for how I want to spend my time eating and drinking. So that also comes up. Not that celebration, I don't want to be like a damper to celebration, right? Because there's a lot of goodness and fun and excitement and music and celebration. It's just personally where I'm at right now. I felt compelled to share this part of my story.
Appreciate that and thank you for your vulnerability. And congratulations, that is quite a feat to go 30 days without something that you have identified as a tool that you have used to, you said, suppress your emotions. And now you're choosing something different. What is that tool that you're going to lean into? And yeah, there's definitely that downside. to alcohol consumption. There's the sugar, as you said, and the fact that you use the word suppressed, and that was an interesting, I felt like it was a very heavy word. It had a lot more to it than just, describing, how alcohol was for you. So thank you very much for bringing that up. It also made me think about how celebration and how we show up in different phases in our lives or points in our lives, where we are in our journey, and where celebration can change for us, depending on how we show up or where we're at mentally, emotionally. So I think that brings depth to our conversation, Erin, and I want to thank you for bringing that in. And again, for being vulnerable. I think there is a lot of food for thought there, no pun intended, but I really do feel like there's a lot to chew on there in terms of to digest. Because one thing that came up for me is all of the nuances, all of the layers, the many factors that come into celebration. And you brought this up earlier about how there's no right or wrong way to celebrate. There's different ways to celebrate. You mentioned celebration language. You might have to trademark that, Erin, your next book.
Oh, I still need to get this other one out.
It really made me think about how, when, and this is coming back to community, and you also mentioned after the election and how there's so much raw emotion. And I look on social media and I see people disowning their family members, divorcing their spouses, making really what I would say are some pretty serious decisions around political decisions that people have made. One thing that came to mind when I was thinking about that was how do we in celebration find room or space for that and acknowledge that there is some disconnect or that there might be some challenges when it comes to coming together as family with different political views and also different values, because our values are connected to our political views in some ways. Those are some things to really think about. So, how does celebration, and then even looking at it from a macro level, right? So, bigger picture, society, how society celebrates. If you think about things that are going to come up as things that we do as a society, that we celebrate together. There's like Thanksgiving parades, and in Boulder and Longmont in Colorado, we have the Parade of Lights, which is now like Lights of December or something like that. So there are a lot of ways that we show up as a society, as a community. How do we show up and celebrate those things, but at the same time take into account that there's some challenges that come with coming together? That is a question I do not have an answer to, but those are some things that I'm thinking about in terms of some rifts that have come up in my personal life, not because of the election. It just happens to be about around the holidays that some things have changed in our family, and not sure how to address that or where I fit in it, and feeling kind of in the middle, but at the same time wanting to value, appreciate, and celebrate all of the relationships that I have in my family while acknowledging the rift. And that puts you in a really, that puts me, I'm going to speak for myself, puts me in a pretty difficult situation. And I think that can show up in celebration, birthdays, different things, Christmas, in the holiday season, those type of gatherings that we traditionally do as families, as friends, as societies, that doesn't really erase the fact that there might be some challenges going on. And where does that show up in a celebration? Any thoughts, Erin?
Yes, I love how you framed that rift that you mentioned and how that shows up in various holidays. And there's the external societal factors as part of that. And then what's going on for us at the macro level and then the micro level and then internally. So all of what you just said really resonated and especially resonated in the grief and loss space that I'm in, because this happens a lot during the holidays and how people navigate their own grief and the grief of others. I don't have an answer to your question that you posed earlier. But I do wonder if we could all maybe commit to curiosity and communication. I'll start with the communication part. As part of our plan with communication, one, maybe having a plan of how we will respond when someone says something to us that is harmful. Maybe there's some level of misunderstanding. Just having a 1 to 3 part way to address that communication. I think having that readily available and practiced can be helpful when you get into those spaces of celebration when challenging conversations come up because it's such a dissonance, right? It's like, oh, we're celebrating and then challenging conversation. It never fails, right? It's always part of the celebration. And then people are like, So first of all, is it the time and space to have those conversations? Likely it's not, but that's not the point here, I guess, because they still do happen. How can you show up authentically and also hold space for your own boundaries when those harmful conversations start up? And how can you be aware of maybe how you're contributing to that harm? I think just really being mindful and practicing. Practice with a friend, you know, to have a scenario that you two play out about a difficult conversation you know will come up at the holidays. And practice a simple response. It doesn't have to be a wordy response. It could be something as simple as, thank you for that. I don't want to talk about that right now and leave it at that. There are other ways too. That was just an example. So communication and then curiosity, right? Like if we can stay in that mode of curiosity, then we can be more mindful and not go into judgment mode. I feel like judgment mode around the holidays ramps up because of the extra stressors that are going on in people's lives. And people can get more short with each other. I know that I can. I'm, you know, volunteering in new ways right now, and I feel judgment, and it's for something that I am volunteering for. So, like, trying to understand why I'm feeling that, and a lot of it is the internal work that I need to do. But also, if there is something I need to address, how do I do that? How do I ask those questions or create a space that's comfortable enough for people to feel vulnerable? So. Yeah, a lot there with this time of year in particular. What about you, LaShawn? Anything else coming up with this
Yeah,
part of the conversation?
so many things. I love that you came to the conversation with suggestions on communication and curiosity. We neither of us really had an answer to the question of how do you deal with those difficult situations, although coming in with a strategy, having a plan, focusing on communication and curiosity, I think is a really great way to approach the ambiguity or the uncertainty of situations that arise when you're celebrating. And kind of going back to what you said about abstaining from drinking alcohol for your reasons, but one thing that I do know is that when alcohol is involved in celebrations, that's when things can get heated. That's when people's ability to think rationally and their filters go away. And that's where, disputes get heated. So I think maybe even having a plan for, how you're being mindful of what you consume and be mindful of the effects of what you consume have on you. And I think that's something to take into account as well, especially if you're around like a relative or something during the holidays that you know drinks a lot in the holidays. And so you could go in with a plan on how you are going to respond to that kind of behavior. Of course, you cannot control how much alcohol they drink or the choices that they make, but we can make decisions and plans ahead of time so that when something like that happens, we can be ready for it. And what this conversation is bringing up for me, Erin, is just the many layers and complexities of celebration. I did not go into this conversation with that in mind. And I'm always surprised. I don't know why, but it's always surprising to me how complex and deep our conversations can get, and how many different areas of life one topic can touch on. I started out thinking about my own good feelings around our 1 year podcast anniversary celebration, which was an encouraging experience for me. And it was also a great way to reflect and to remind myself and ourselves about the work we've done and what we have accomplished in a year. And I think that's one of the positive aspects of celebration. But as with anything in life, there's going to be the positive and the negative, the light and the dark, the heavy and the buoyant. I really do think that the answer to approaching that is in curiosity, because I do think the curiosity does help you stay away from judgment. That's how I feel about the whole idea of the things that can come up when you're at a celebration, and being able to just be curious about that, not only about what's going on outside of you, but what's going on inside of you. Being curious about, that upset me, or that was uncomfortable, or even that's really great. I'm learning so much, or something like that. Just being curious about what's going on with you. And also what's going on around you. And that curiosity can help you take a step back, and it can also help you not take things personally. And so when we take things personally, it's an easy step into getting offended, getting your guards up, defending yourself. Those things that comes with taking something personally. But when we take a stance of curiosity, it is a way to distance yourself from what's happening. And it also, what I find when I take that curiosity, is it helps me stay a little bit lighter, and I can look at situations with compassionate observation and not be too much involved in it or too close to it, because that can get to a point where you get a little defensive and people stop listening and communication breaks down. That's my observation. Anything else you can think of around celebration in our conversation, Erin?
I think just be gentle with yourself as you go into the holiday season and whatever celebrations you might be a part of. Know that life is messy. Our communication is messy. Nobody's a perfect communicator. So if you do make a mistake or you feel like you did something wrong in a conversation, that's all part of the process and that's okay. One thing to ask yourself is, how can I repair this? Maybe it's repairing it just within your own self. Maybe you give yourself a hug and say you did your best. Those types of things. That care and that self-care can be so important. Maybe it is directly having another conversation to have repair as well. So I think that's the other thing. And we do want to include that there is a level of lightness and buoyancy that we hope you can embody as you go through this time of year. And, we don't want it to be like this forced happiness, or the holidays are forced happiness. I don't think that's what either of us are saying, but we do want you to be equipped and we want people to have tools to be able to enjoy themselves. There is nothing wrong with feeling joy. And I have to tell myself that too, right? Like, because we're not taught that really in our culture. It's just for so many different reasons and different layers. And that shows up so different within different family systems. So you deserve joy. It doesn't have to be just during the holidays. It can be any time of the year. But how are you going to maybe stand in your joy a little bit more and feel empowered to do that and celebrate your year? So while it's about coming together in community, it's also about celebrating your year, which clearly had relationships externally from you. So there still is that community aspect, but maybe thinking about what went well for your year. What are some things you truly want to celebrate about yourself in the year? How do you want to share that sense of joy with others? So those are some of the other questions that I'm coming up with here as we kind of get to the end of this episode. And I want to thank LaShawn for bringing up this topic of celebration as our topic for today, because I don't think I was ready for it. But now, after having a moment to talk and with LaShawn, it just feels that I want to go into the coming weeks and months standing in my own joy and celebrating that.
I love that. And one thing that comes to mind is something that didn't come up in the conversation, because the conversation kind of took a mind of its own and went
Oh,
in a
that's.
different a direction that I didn't anticipate, but which I thought was really great. I think what happened was meant to happen. One thing that I wanted to bring up, and this kind of goes with what you ended with, Erin, is being in your joy. I think that that is an embodiment of celebration, being in your joy, like a part of celebration, like the other stuff that we talked about. But that's one of the things that I think is so important when you're doing self-development work in coaching, those celebrations. That is a time where you're giving yourself permission and you're also setting aside time to be in joy. And that is something that I take away from the good parts of celebration. It is a time to be in joy. And you can do that in a community. You can do that by yourself. You can do that with a thought partner, like a coach or therapist. You can do that with a friend. Be in joy. And the more that you can give yourself permission and you can also set aside intentionally be in joy. That's another thing about celebration. It's intentionally being in joy. I think it's so important. And so I think this is really, Erin, I think you've kind of brought us into this space of coaching nuggets of wisdom. Do you, I mean, basically your whole summary there was a coaching nugget of
I know,
wisdom. Do
I
you have
know.
more you'd like to add to that, or do you want to just leave that as your coaching nugget?
I guess I'll frame it with kind of a summary of everything. So be mindful about how you show yourself care, what tools and strategies you have in place to navigate conversations and remain curious and live in your joy. Those three things are a strong formula for celebrating the season.
Beautiful. My coaching nugget will be an invitation to our listeners and to ourselves. How can you bring in that spirit of being in joy into your life more often? And it doesn't have to be a specific way. It can be your way, as Erin mentioned, language of celebration. And I'd leave it at that. How can you bring in moments of joy? Be intentional about joy. Thanks for joining us for Coaching as Benevolence. I'm LaShawn with Meishel Sage Place, Positive Intelligence Coaching.
And I'm Erin with Roots and Wings, Grief and Loss Coaching.
Have a benevolent day.